This is our seventh study in our series on the local church. I've got a fairly long title for it, Two Contrasts and Three Spheres of Activity in the Local Church. Actually, the two contrasts involve four activities or features, and so there's seven things that we'll be talking about all together, but I hope it becomes clear for us. Someone once said to me, those people who claim to meet according to the New Testament, they don't believe in any organization. Everything must be haphazard among their leadership and in their meetings. Apparently, he was concerned about people having too much freedom. Now, it may be that too much freedom is a dangerous thing. And apparently that individual I was talking to felt that open meetings or the absence of a strong central leader, that is a pastor, made for an anything goes local church. But if we claim to follow the New Testament, will we end up with disorder and anarchy? We have the serious problem today that many individuals have taken for themselves great power in the local church, often to the exclusion of the freedom of individuals. There's a great deal of restriction then. So instead of having too much freedom among evangelicals in local churches, we very well may not have enough. So we have the issue of the balance between restriction and freedom. Today, maybe restriction is winning over freedom. Another problem is that of diversity versus conformity. Now, in every human society, people must deal with the issue of the existence of those who are different from themselves. The situation exists also in the local church, and the Apostle Paul spends a whole chapter, that is 1 Corinthians 12, addressing one aspect of this problem. The question behind Paul's teaching at Corinth is something like this. How can someone who is equipped with gifts different from mine be quite as important as I am in the body of Christ? In terms of the local church, the problem can be stated more positively. How does God use individuals with different qualifications, that is, there's diversity in the matter of possessing spiritual gifts, how can God use individuals with different qualifications, different gifts, in the structure and function of the local church? So we have a second pair of features of the local church: diversity and conformity. And diversity and conformity can swing in one direction or the other. Too much diversity, too much conformity, not enough diversity, not enough conformity. If diversity is a good thing, something that exists because God has made people different and placed them in the body of Christ with differing abilities, then diversity should be supported. And how can there be an effective relationship between freedom and restriction of that freedom? How then can there be diversity and conformity in the right balance and to the right extent, and also freedom and restriction at the same time, all in a working balance? We'll look at these four features, two pairs, diversity and conformity, freedom and restriction. And as we see them in the study, in your printed study, I will attempt to have them all italicized so we emphasize these relationships. I believe that the New Testament picture of the relationship between these four realms gives a very illuminating overview of the basic nature of the local church. There is a God-given pattern involving these four that underlies and affects everything in the local church. Understand diversity and conformity, freedom and restriction, as they interface with each other in the local church, and you understand a great deal about what God wants the local church to look like. Now let's turn to three related spheres of multiple activity. So two pairs of four features of the makeup of the local church, and now a triangle representing three spheres of things that people do. So it will help us to understand the relationships between diversity and conformity and freedom and restriction if we overlay these with three spheres of activity in the local church. These can all be described with directional functions in relation to God, and you'll see that in a moment. We could represent these three spheres in this triangular figure. And it's especially important to see that each sphere involves a multiplicity of people or actions. Multiplicity. Many people doing something. So let's look at this triangle, and then we'll look at the three points of the triangle and then connect these with those two pairs of two features of the local church. So I've entitled this little graphic, Three Spheres of Multiple Activity, many things happening within each of the three spheres, and relationships in the local church. So let's start with the top, leadership. This is one of three activities. There's leadership, there's worship, and there's exercise of gifts. Let's look at leadership. This is multiple in that New Testament features more than one leader in the local church, multiple elders. Their authority is based on ministry of the word. They are to guard the truth. Hebrews 13 tells us they must be obeyed. And I see this as activity under God. They are doing something for God in a sense. They are standing between God and the people in a local church in that they lead and guard the shepherds. Okay, so they are working under God. We'll see verses that describe that. Let's look to the bottom right of the triangle and worship. Second sphere of things that are going on. I see this as connected with leadership in that the leaders guard the opportunity to worship. Leaders make sure that believers have an opportunity to worship publicly. That's we can worship on our own, and we should at privately at home, but there's also public worship in the local church. So let's look at that bottom right point of the triangle, worship. This is multiple also. So we have multiple leaders, but the New Testament describes multiple worship. Everyone can and should worship. Worship is done by sacrifices. It's a response to grace. It's based on the truth of Hebrews describes the unique altar. Remember, the writer of the Hebrews says we have an altar that we worship at. All right, that's a spiritual altar. Worship involves activity directed toward God. So the leaders are helping the sheep in the local church under God. So it's as if they're mediators between God and the people It's a downward spiritual direction. But worship goes what way? It goes toward God. So for leadership, you could put a downward arrow, and for worship, you could put an upward arrow. But if we go over to the left to gift usage, this is multiple also because all believers have gifts. So see the multiplicity? This is very, very important. Multiple leadership, multiple elders, multiple worship. Everyone can worship. And multiple equipping with gifts. Everyone has a spiritual gift. So there's multiplicity throughout this triangle. Gifts are given by God to develop and edify and protect others spiritually. They are an expression of love toward each other. And we can see this as activity on behalf of God. So the gift usage goes horizontally. Your gift ministers to me. May my gift minister to you also. Gift usage is like a network, a set of nodes, with each person in a local church being one of those nodes. And this node ministers to this one, this one to this one, this one to this one. So that there's the interplay of the use of spiritual gifts. It is, of course, multiple, but it is on a horizontal level in terms of spiritual direction. So it goes back and forth between believers. So leadership, ministering on behalf of God for others, worship, the spiritual direction is toward God, use of gifts, is we could envision that as being spiritually horizontal. Well, let's just say a few more things about each one of these points. The sphere of leadership, as I've said, is activity carried out under God, on behalf of God. Now, it's not that we don't use our gifts on behalf of God, but I see leadership as primarily taking the things of God, Scripture, and carrying it out in the local church. So Peter gives teaching to the elders in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, concerning what they do as leaders. Peter says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the most important thing here is that the elders carry out their task of shepherding, which happens to be a spiritual gift, under the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the leaders in the local church, the elders, do their work under the Lord Jesus Christ. They mediate the will of God down, in a sense, spiritual direction, down to the people in the local church. Now the second point, let's take the gifts part. Secondly, the bottom left on the triangle, sphere of edification, which means building up. An edifice, you make an edifice is a building. Within this sphere, the most evident activity is that of the use of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts can be defined as God-given abilities for service. So the bottom left point in the sphere is service. Multiple, all believers serve. This activity in the local church, that is among locally gathered and associating believers, is carried out to build up the body. The passage that speaks most fully on this is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, where Paul tells us that God gave gifted individuals to the body. By the way, in this passage, Paul says God gave gifted individuals. In the other three main passages on spiritual gifts, the gifts are listed in isolation, not as a person possessing the gift as you have here. So this is one of the four major passages on spiritual gifts. The other is Romans 12. Others are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Peter 4. To help you remember these, there are two 4s and two 12s. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. So here's Ephesians 4, 11. It was he, and the preceding verses say that in celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, God threw a spiritual celebration, a party. And as part of that, he gave spiritual gifts, associate a party with gifts. So God celebrated and gave out gifts too. It was he who gave some to be apostles. So he gave to the body of Christ, seen in a local manifestation in an individual local church, he gave people who have the spiritual gift of apostle. Gave some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor teachers. I wish the NIV had translated it connecting pastor and teacher. You could put shepherd and teacher in here. Shepherd, a pastor is a shepherd. That is small p, not the pastor of a church. We'll talk about that later in this study. But a person who shepherds is a person who pastors. A person who pastors is a person who shepherds. So these are shepherd slash teachers. All right. That is a two-part gift, which is not clear in the NIV translation. So there are really one, two, three, four gifts here. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd teacher. Right? And I like to use the word shepherds so that we understand a little bit more about what this gift really involves. If we use the word pastor, it confuses us with the so-called office of pastor, and we'll talk about whether that's biblical or not later on in this study. So their task, the task of these gifted people, these are four spiritual gifts. One, two, three, four. The fourth is two-part. And there are, in the other passages, more spiritual gifts. These are just examples of spiritual gifts, but the goal of all spiritual gifts, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, spiritually grown up, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here we're seeing the horizontal nature of spiritual gifts. We minister to each other, each being a node in the body of Christ, and in turn in the local church, ministering to each other, other people alive at the same time we are on earth. Okay, so it's horizontal. If we use our spiritual gifts, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. Second mention of spiritual maturity in this passage. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So here Paul tells us that unless the whole body of Christ edifies itself, it cannot bring its parts, that is, individual people, all the nodes to the point of being like Christ, and the body remains weak and susceptible to the intrusion of error. Of course, the primary place that the use of gifts occurs is in the local church. The key to achieving edification, building up each other, is to use spiritual gifts, some of which are found in verse 11. Again, there are more gifts in the other three gift passages in the New Testament. So we can describe this sphere as involving activity coming on behalf of or from God to build up believers. And it's exemplified particularly by the function of teaching, which brings truth from God in accordance with the revelation, which is Scripture, of course. The exhorter, using his gift, also speaks from God. 1 Peter 4:11, a second major gift passage, says, "If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God." Here we see the use of gifts under God. "If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So this particular gift of teaching is to be done in such a way that it carries out the very words of God in Scripture. Now the third sphere, which is the bottom right point on the triangle, sphere of worship. Again, multiplicity, but here the direction of what's happening, what people do, is upward. So you can put an upward pointing arrow here. Within this sphere, believers direct their activity toward God. They offer the sacrifices of praise, giving, and doing good, according to Hebrews 13 and Romans 12, the sacrifice of the physical body. Sacrifices go from ourselves. They are not going, except in the gift, in the exercise of service to others, which is a sacrifice. That goes to others, but the main work of worshipers is to praise God. So here's Hebrews 13, 15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God," upward, right, "a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Sacrifices go from ourselves, and they sometimes benefit others. Primarily, they go to God. Worship by believer priests goes mainly toward God. Romans 12, "I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not," again, you're giving something from yourself. You're sacrificing your body to God, right, upward. "So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So here is a triangle of three activities in the local church. And we want to ask now how these three spheres of activity, people doing leadership, people using their gifts, people worship, how do they intersect with those four features of the local church? I know this is a lot to be thinking about, seven things, but I've got a table here for you that I think will help to clarify this, a graphic representation of the three spheres of multiple activity and these two pairs of two features, diversity and uniformity, freedom and restriction. These are all things that should be involved in the local church in the right balance. So down the left-hand side of this graphic, I have diversity and uniformity. They are opposites in a sense, but they have to be in the right balance. And then we have freedom and restriction. They are opposites, but they have to be in the right balance. What we will see eventually in this study is that many, many local churches, perhaps most local churches today, are out of balance with diversity and uniformity, with freedom and restriction. The goal is, in a local church, to have these in the right. That is a biblical balance. So down the left, I've got the two pair of four features, diversity, uniformity, freedom, and restriction. And then across the top, I have the features of the triangle. Now let's see how they intersect. In the leadership, let's go across the top, in the leadership or ruling activity, the top part of the triangle, we see that there is diversity in that many people lead. Many different people lead. You have multiple eldership, so you have diversity of thought and opinion and background and personality. There's diversity in that there is not, especially that there's not one person leading a local church. You have one person, you don't have any diversity. See? Then with regard to edification and gift, the left point on the triangle, there's diversity in that while everyone has a spiritual gift, the gifts vary. I like to think that it seems to me that the New Testament presents that while everyone has a spiritual gift, and that's taught in Ephesians 4, everybody's set of gifts and the relative strength of the gifts that they have, each person is different, each believer is different from another. So if you have one person who has a teaching gift and a serving gift, and another person who has a teaching gift and a serving gift, it's likely that in the first person, the teaching gift is may be stronger than the serving gift. In the second person, with the same gifts, there may be a weaker teaching gift and a stronger serving gift. And then there are the other gifts, that many other gifts that people can have, and they each person is equipped differently. So in a local church, it's likely that you do not have two or more people who have the same gifts in the same strength as each other. So there is diversity. The gift setup for each person is different from everybody else's gift setup. That's diversity. They're not all the same. They're not uniform. And then with regard to worship and priesthood, you have multiplicity. You have multiplicity everywhere here. Everyone can offer sacrifices. So you have diversity in that this person worships, this one worships, this one worships, this one worships. And in the meetings of the local church, it is men who orally lead in worship, and they are different. So if Brother Bruce stands up and leads in worship, what he does is different in leading in worship from Brother Peter, as opposed to most local churches where there is one worship leader. What's missing? Diversity. If you have two or more leading in worship, you have diversity of perspective. And every time those two men get up and lead us in worship, there is automatically diversity because they are different people. There's not uniformity there. As in most local churches, there's not being locked into one person's view of worship. Then with regard to uniformity, is there uniformity? Yes. There's diversity, but there is also uniformity in the New Testament teaching on the local church. So where do we see this with regard to leadership and ruling? Well, we see that all elders have to have the same qualifications. All elders have the same qualifications, and they follow the scriptures in what they do, and no one elder is above the others. So they're uniform in their authority. That's in the New Testament, as opposed to most local churches today, where there is a hierarchy in the leadership. There is not uniformity. There is a difference in the authority and other features. With regard to use of spiritual gifts, edification, where's the uniformity in the local church? Everyone is supposed to use their spiritual gift and do it according to scriptures. Everybody, there's uniformity. All believers are to use their spiritual gifts. Again, most local churches, you have only a few, maybe just the leadership, using spiritual gifts, and there's a disunity, there is a separation and a difference between usage. With regard to worship and priesthood and uniformity, every believer is a priest. That's uniform. Every person that I'm looking at today has professed to be a believer. You are also a believer priest, therefore, so there is uniformity. I'm looking at a number of believer priests. I'm looking at uniformity with regard to your priesthood. You hold the same office of a believer priest, and everyone is obligated to worship, so there's uniformity. How about freedom with regard to leadership? There's freedom to aspire to be an elder. Text, the New Testament says, if a man wants to, aspires to be an elder, that's a good thing. So that's biblical, right? All men, you're not restricted by education or so-called ordination. What about freedom and edification? Well, it's to be done by the freedom, the Holy Spirit, and use of spiritual gifts by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And worship and priesthood and freedom touch each other, where you see worship and priesthood carried out in an open meeting led by the Spirit. There's freedom. That's maybe one of the most obvious, prominent features of New Testament local church. Freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit in the meeting of the church. And then finally, restriction. Is there restriction on leadership? Yeah. For instance, elders must meet particular standards. There is males only restriction on leadership. How about the intersection of restriction and edification? Well, only the gifted should teach publicly. That's a restriction. Some local churches have they don't have a pastor, but they have, who's teaching? Well, sometimes they'll have local churches that don't have a pastor believe in multiple eldership, also have every single man has a voice that can be heard, stand up and teach, as opposed to teaching from people who have the gift. There's also restriction in the use of spiritual gifts in the local church. 1 Timothy, women are not to teach men, and other restrictions. And finally, with regard to worship and priesthood, are there restrictions? Again, males speaking orally, only males speaking orally in worship in the local church, that's a restriction. And a restriction on the nature of the meetings, that they might be orderly. So what does this chart mean? Let's summarize. The apostles teach that certain things are necessary in a local church. Must be leadership, use of gift, and worship. They're to be carried out in certain ways. For example, only males can be in places of leadership. This is a restriction. There are commonalities in each sphere. This is uniformity. For instance, all believers, again, are priests. There's a uniformity there. Beyond that, there's great freedom. Namely, for example, all men in the local church are potentially elders. There's freedom to aspire to be an elder versus limitation by ordination or education, as we said. Diversity enters the picture in the description of the plurality of people in leadership. When you have a plurality, any place in the local church, you have diversity. You don't have the same person doing one job done by one person. You have multiple input as different people contribute to the same area of activity, leadership, worship, use of spiritual gifts. And finally, we will look more at these four features and the intersection of the four with the triangle of spheres of activity in the local church in coming parts of this study. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for the many pieces of information that we have in the New Testament about what a local church should look like. Cause us to attach great importance to all of those pieces of the text of Scripture and to use them in our lives that we might please you more. In Jesus' name.